Miss Baker, I hope you don't mind. She wrote a card to the church. Is it okay if I share this morning, ma'am? She wrote a card. It's actually to the River Church, and I'd like to read it if y'all bear with me just for a second. Here's what Miss Diane Baker wrote. Some of you know she was in the hospital and has recently gotten out. Thank God for his healing touch and healing hand on her. Here's what she wrote. She said, "Thank you all for being a loving body of believers. Thank you for caring and showing your love by calls, bringing food, having my house cleaned, and all the many acts of love shown to me over the last several weeks. May God richly bless each and every one for your prayers and loving heart. Love, Diane and Ron Baker." So thank you, church. But I just real quickly, it got me thinking. I've been thinking the past several days anyway. Keisha, I'm proud of you, sweetheart. I've seen where you've been, and I've seen where you are now, and I know where God has taken you. I'm proud of you. Damien, Cassidy, I'm proud of you. Jordan, I'm proud of you. Stacy, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Robbie and Destiny, I'm proud of you. Haley and Joel, I'm proud of you. Miss Mary, I'm proud of you. All these young families in here, I'm proud of you. Dora and George, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of these young families and what God is doing through them and for them as they're seeking him. And I want us to give them just a moment of gratitude. Jacob and Taylor, I'm proud of you. All these young families that are in here that are seeking God, I'm watching things happen in your life, and I'm proud of you. Now, let me tell you, Miss Jeanette, I'm proud of you. Miss Peggy Sweeney, I'm proud of you. Miss Angie and your sweet mama, I'm proud of you. Roger and Mary, I'm proud of you. Robert, I'm proud of you. Deborah and Mike, I'm proud of you. Those that have been here, Miss Linda Strain, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of those that have been here who have stayed the course, that have been in this church, because what we're seeing is a blend of all young and old believers coming. No, I didn't call you old. I'm sorry. Seasoned believers melting together. Miss Vicky, Miss Jennifer, I'm proud of you, because you know what? Things change and people come, and it's the rootness of those that are seasoned that teach and develop the young ones that are coming up in the body of Christ. So I'm going to tell you something. Thank you for holding on. Change is the only thing that will never change. We all grow. I don't look quite as skinny as I used to. I grew some. Yeah, we're moving on, ain't we? We're moving on. I'm going to get back there one day. Even if it's in heaven, I tell you what, I saw Bob running through the parking lot today, and I got a little jealous. I said, that don't make him move, buddy. He was trutting on through. I said, I need to take a lesson or two from him. I just want to tell you something, though. I'm proud of you. The church is proud of you. You make this church what it is. And I don't care. I'll put it up to any other church within a 20-mile radius. We have the most lovingest people in the world right here. I'm so glad to see our visitors with us today. I want you to know something. When you walk into this house, there's two things that abide. Number one is love, and number two is the Holy Ghost. God is in this house. We love him first and foremost. And if we do that right, everything else seems to come right in order. So before I even get out of that mess, I want you to know something. Just remember that. If nobody else tells you this entire week, you remember Pastor said that I love you and I'm proud of you. Amen? So, what's that? Well, all glory to God for everything that he is. This time, last week, oh, yes, ma'am, Miss Jeanette. Well, thank you very much. Honey, get the cheesecake ready when I get home, okay? I'm a double fudge ice cream is in my future then. I'm going to give you more to love. No. This time last week, as a matter of fact, I got up to preach, and right as I got up to preach, I want to congratulate my brother-in-law and his beautiful wife back here on the birth of their two twins Sunday. Elisha and Ezekiel, is that correct? Eli and Zeke. Now, I've been thinking on this all week long. If we had all of them here today, we would have, including the two that were just born, I'm a proud uncle, I got to say. We have 13 children in this church under the age of four. 13 if they're all here. Give God a hand clap of praise. Been here for a long time now, not as long as some, but I don't know. Have you ever seen 13 children under the age of four here, Deborah? Have we ever had that many kids in church here? Do you remember? Have we? Well, good. What God has done before, he's going to do again then. So I've got a picture when we had the opening service in here, and the place was full. The balconies, the downstairs, there was not an empty seat in the house. Every seat was full in God's house. You know what God is doing? He's doing something new. He's bringing something new into existence right now. I've been looking at, y'all know I don't watch the news, but I do read the news. What has happened in Texas is just absolutely heartbreaking. But amongst all the things that are happening in the world that are bad, God is giving birth to something good. I stood there in the NICU. These two little babies are premature. They're born at 28 weeks. They're going to be in there for a few weeks. How many of you are in agreement with me that we're speaking health and healing over those two children? They're going to come out of that NICU. There's not going to be a problem with it. But I'm looking at those two little babies, and I'm standing up beside their little, I like to call them incubators. I don't know what they are, but they're growing in this thing. What a, is it an incubator? Okay. I don't feel bad. I thought maybe they were chicken eggs. But they, I'm looking at these two little human beings that were the size of pretty much a cantaloupe, and I could put one in each hand, and I started looking at how beautiful they were at 28 weeks old, and I thought, my goodness, in America, we are killing these little things. Oh, I got angry and joyous at the same time. I got so mad that we've taken life and whittled it down to nothing more than a concept of how we feel in the moment, and we're aborting these beautiful children, and I got angry with it. But you know, the next thought I had was every last one of them are in heaven today. And I started thinking to myself, now, you know, Lord, instead of getting angry at what the world is doing, I want to pray for those that have done it, Lord. For those that have done that, God, that they had their eyes open to who you are, come to you, ask forgiveness, let their sins be washed clean, Lord. Let them be made new, not living in the devil's guilt and shame that are being put on them, but let them walk tall and be a voice for those unborn children from now on. If we'll stop dwelling on the negative and start dwelling on the positive of what God is going to do, we'll start seeing change. Those beautiful little babies right there, and I thought, now, Robbie and Destiny got no idea what they're in for. Oh. So then I started praying for them extra hard while I was standing there. But I started thinking that. I got that the babies on my mind as I was going through. I thought, man, 13 children. And I got pastor's grandson is doing a little work at the house out there. He's building this fence. And I was talking to him, and he's talking about all the things that you have to do, and man, he was tired, and it was, man, just a lot of labor, working hard, and just, he was wore out, and so I said something to him. I said, you know, Canaan, I said, everything that births something new has labor pains. And he stopped, and he said, you know, I've never heard that before, but I think I want to remember that. I'm going to write that down. And I started thinking there. I said, Lord, I think we got a message for all these people in our church here. We got so many. How many of you women know about labor pains? Now, this is the only time. Y'all don't put this on Facebook. You understand me? I don't want to see this on YouTube. It's the only time I'm going to say this. This is the only time I will tell you that a man can birth something spiritually from God. A man can't give birth to a baby. Let me go ahead and make that clear. But do you know God can birth something through a man just like he can through a woman? So today's message is not just for women. I want you to understand that. So men, don't check out. Don't get your phone out and start checking the weather app and looking at golf or whatever else you're going to do. I want you all to stay with me this morning. If you got your Bibles, let's go into John 16 here. John 16, verse 21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has come born into the world. See, I want you to know that everything new God births in you, whether it's a vision, a calling, a business, a breakthrough, or even just a deeper level of your faith that you have, comes with three things. The three P's, as I'm going to call them today, to birthing something great. The first one is pain, the second one is pressure, and the third one is process. There are three things that always comes with that, but I want you to know that pain is not always a sign that something is wrong. We think that. We think, oh, my back hurts. You know what first thing? I got to go to the doctor. Oh, something's wrong with me. How many of you women, better not have a man raise your hand, were pregnant that you felt pain as you were growing that baby inside of you? How many of you felt that? Now, that was good pain, wasn't it? Good pain. See, not all pain is bad. We just need to understand what the pain means to us. And I want you to know that the pain is not the sign of something wrong. It may be the clearest sign that something powerful is about to come forth in your life. You're about to give birth to something wonderful and beautiful and unique, just like these beautiful children in this church. I love it. Amen. I want to hear another. Amen. Y'all awake? These babies are our future. I love each and every one. It fills my heart up. Little Gracie. Oh, it melts my heart. She runs up to me, wants to hug on me. Don't worry, Brady's going to get there too. He's already my buddy. Jeremiah's warming up to me. I got a picture with me and him the other day. It took forever, but I got a hold of him now. These little babies are the future. Not just of America, but of our church, people, of the gospel being spread out. Kudos to you families who are bringing your children into this church. My mother raised me in a church, but I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of my friends that didn't get raised in a church. You know what? We're as opposite ends as you could get on the spectrum. Now, don't get me wrong. I went way over here. Y'all know the story. The Bible said to raise a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Kudos to you for raising them right. Pain is not always a bad thing. The enemy fights hardest when you're closest to your destiny. The first P, the pain, is the sign of purpose. You need to write that down. If you don't, put a middle note of it. Your pain is your sign of purpose. If we look over in Romans, chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Let me tell you something. Pain is often the signal that something is shifting and moving. That baby inside, I remember Ashley when she was pregnant. And praise God, we ain't going to do that again now. Hallelujah. I'm just going to watch y'all and love on y'all's kids. We done. We ain't having no more. Don't be praying no Abraham, Sarah thing over here. We ain't doing that. But I remember as Ashley was pregnant and she would feel Michaela would be in there kicking and punching and wanting to get out. And sometimes it would hurt her. And I hear, oh, what was that? And she's just kicking on me. She's kicking. There was a sign that something was moving and stirring and shifting inside of her. In your life right now, if you're feeling pain, I want you to know it's because probably God is shifting something in your life to put you in position to birth something great. Pain is not always bad. We always want to skip that part, but just like that verse read, you know what happens after you birth it? You forget about the pain that you once had. God uses our pain not to punish us, but to prepare us for what is about to come. All things work for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. But let me tell you something, not all things are good. You go through hard times. It's part of it. But thank God that every test I had has turned into a testimony today. They weren't easy. They weren't, you know, just a run of the mill. Sometimes the devil attacked me the hardest when I got close to the finish line. He wants me to stop. So when you start feeling those pains, I don't want you to curse your contractions. I want you to praise God about what is on the way. When you're feeling these pains, stop looking at the negative and start praising Him for the positive. You know that old saying, no pain, no gain? That's true. Well, you think I'm not 150 pounds, man. It hurts getting to the gym every day like that. Huh? Brother Rick and I were talking about this the other day. He's always a spine, you know, buff look. I was like, hey, man, yeah, I need some help. I'll pray for you. No, no. No pain, no gain. Your pain is proof that you're carrying purpose. You need to write that down. I'm telling you, your pain is proof that you're carrying purpose. Number two, pressure. If we flip over into Isaiah 66, verse 9, here's what it says. It says, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? See, both in the natural and the spiritual, there's a push before the promise. There's a pressure there that happens in that moment. And what happens, there's always a buildup right before the delivery. I can remember when we went to the hospital with Michaela. Honey, you felt some pressure, didn't you? You know what else felt pressure? My hand, as it broke. She got a hold of that thing and squeezed so hard. I said, oh, Lord, oh, please, Jesus, help us. But right before that delivery, right before Michaela came, there was pressure that was added in that moment. And that pressure is the sign of the promise that was going to come. Some of us feel the pressure. Some of you feel the pressure. You almost feel like you've been stuck between a rock and a hard place. You ever been there? You know what the good news is? You don't have to stay there. That's not where you have to dwell. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Through it. Not in it to stay in it. Not for me to pitch a tent up and hang out there. I'm going to walk through it. And so are you if you just keep going. But if you want to stop and stay, the devil's going to be glad for you to just pitch a tent and hang out there. But God is telling you to keep going. See, if the pressure is increasing, it may be time for you to start pushing. We used to have this banner up over in the youth room over there. It said, push. Pray until something happens. Remember that. Because when you don't know what to do, pray. I'm going to go a step farther. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't know what to say, pray in the Spirit. Let your spirit connect with the Spirit of God. Let the two come together and let them, then you know what? Pray for interpretation of what you're praying for. I've done that many times. Not know what to do in a situation. I feel stuck. I know something is happening. I know something is coming. Something great. Do you understand? That's how I know something great is coming in this church. We're already great, but I'm telling you something even greater is coming. I've seen it. I've seen it. Can I detour just a second? Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but I don't care. I had a people going, oh no, I don't believe. Well, you know, whatever. I'm just gonna tell you. I've never had like a, I don't know like I've never seen angels. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I do know that God has shown me things. And when God has shown me things, it was like a movie screen had come down and I'm standing back and I'm watching on this movie screen kind of what's taking place. And years ago, I had this happen, and what I saw in this, I remember it so vividly clear today. It was a van. We used to have a church van. We used to remember that old white church van that we had? We used to have a church van. Ash and I drove it. Miss Jennifer used to drive that, pick up kids on Wednesday nights with that. But Ashley and I drove that church van, and we would pick up the kids on Wednesday night and bring them in. Well, I had this van, and I'm backing around this industrial building. And if you've ever seen in the back of industrial buildings, they have ramps that go up to dock doors. You ever seen these? They go up. Well, one ramp goes up, and then right beside it is a stiff drop-off. Are y'all still with me? I'm not putting you to sleep, Emma. So So I'm backing up. So anyway, so I'm backing up this van, and it's just me, and I'm backing it up, and I'm going up this ramp. Well, all of a sudden, the van falls off the ramp onto its side and crashes. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? So I get up on the van, and I throw open the side doors. And when I throw open the side doors, all of a sudden I start seeing people. I reach down, and I'm grabbing the person, and I'm pulling them out. And then right about, and then there's somebody else, and we're grabbing them, and we're pulling them out. And then I'm reaching down, and I'm just doing this over and over, and I'm watching it, and it's an array of people. And I remember one guy had a big old afro just like Dimitri had. It was so awesome as he came out of that thing. And I'm pulling all these people out, and I'm just one after the other, and they just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, what is this? And when I asked God to give me interpretation, he said, this is what you're going to show them, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we love them, but you're going to be set free through that power. Now, when I look in here and I see 13 children and young families, I see each and every one of you being pulled out of that van. That van was your life in wreck before you found Jesus Christ. That van was the path that you were on, the destiny that you were in, the place where you were stuck at, and God said, I want to deliver you out of that bondage that you were in. That's how I know that I know that I know that our best is still yet to come in this church. Because you know what? At no point did I stop pulling people out. At no point did the doors shut back. They just kept coming. God's work is never done. How many of you are on board with me? I can't pull them out by myself. I'm not strong enough to do that. I need the body of believers in here. And that's why I say it's so beautiful to see that I'm so proud of you that I see generations pulling younger generations out. And then I see younger generations pulling other young generations out. And the cycle goes on. And you know what happens? Heaven starts to get filled. And we start emptying out hell. Amen. We're birthing something beautiful here. You're birthing something beautiful here. Push, though. Pray until something happens. If you feel the pressure, it's because you're close to your promise. Number three, perseverance. It's going to be a two-bottle water day. God is good. Y'all say, I'm a victor. Not a victim. We don't have a church full of victims. We got a church full of victors. Number three, perseverance. Don't abort the process. Let's go into Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 9. Here's what the Bible reads. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Birthing something great requires two things, stamina and focus. You got to be able to stand and be strong. When the devil comes against you, you've got to be able to stand against him. You know what the Bible actually says? It says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How much effort is in that to resist? Robert, come here. Can I borrow you for a second? I'm not going to beat up my father-in-law, by the way. But now, what you do, man, put your hands out just like this, Robert. Now hold them right there for me. Now, here's the deal. Now, Robert's the good guy. I'm going to make him the good guy. I'm the bad guy. Don't start with that. But now, I'm the devil. I'm coming up, and I'm going to attack Robert. Now, Robert doesn't need to come at me and start swinging at me and hitting at me and everything. What the Bible said? It said to resist the devil. So all you got to do is resist my push. If you'll resist what he's doing against you, he'll flee from you. You know what happens? I can't move you, can I? I can't shake you. I can't move you. I'm going to give up on you, and I'm going to go to somebody else. Thank you, brother. But what happens if Robert's just said, and he starts running away. The devil chases you. He's going to chase you right back into the place that God took you out of. He's going to run you back down until you're defeated again. until you forget that there's something growing inside of you that God has put inside of you to birth. You're going to forget the greatness that God has promised you. And let me tell you something, we're not all Martin Luther King Jr.'s in this room. You know how Billy Graham became Billy Graham? A Sunday school teacher led him to the Lord. Every person that's been born again, you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, and I guarantee you that the Lord is wanting to birth something wonderful and beautiful in you and through you. Brady wanted to be out here with me, didn't he, buddy? I don't blame you. It's good preaching, Brady. You take notes, okay, buddy? We're going to have about 5 or 6 pastors out of this place, I believe in. 2 things, stamina and focus. You got to be focused, too. I preached a sermon one time. It was in the walls of a Cumberland Trace Elementary School, and it said, begin with the end in mind. You got to be focused on what you're doing. Don't get distracted by everything else. The devil will want you to get distracted so that you forget about what God is trying to do in your life. Don't get sidetracked. God will never take you into labor and leave you without strength to deliver. I'm going to say that again. God will never give you something that you need to labor in that he won't give you the strength to deliver it with. So all you got to do is don't give up. You got to stay in position. You're closer to your delivery than what you think you are. You're not buried. If you're not buried in your pain and your suffering, you're planted. Have you anybody ever grown anything in here? A flower or a tree? Yeah, let me show you some hands. How many gardeners we have in here? How many gardeners that have like black thumbs and not green thumbs? Because I can't. Yeah. Truth be told, we got some kind of a plant that you're not supposed to kill. Like nobody could kill it. Yeah, I killed it. It's dead. We left it out all winter. I just wanted to put it to test, see if it would really survive. It didn't. It died right away. So. But if you've ever planted something, you know how this works. You take a seed, right? You put it down into the soil. You cover that seed up with soil. Now, what's actually happening is the fight is happening below the surface. You don't see what's going on under the ground. But that seed is fighting through the soil. It's putting roots down deep. Now, let's call that the Word of God. We put our roots down deep. We start growing in the Word of God, rooting us into it so that we're immovable with that. And out of those roots, just like in that seed, starts drawing nourishment out of the ground that then provides growth to that seed to start sprouting upwards through that thick soil to where it will come up and produce something wonderful. You are not dead. You're just planted. But if you don't put your roots in the soil, you won't grow up out of it either. When I'm talking to these families, and young, old, it doesn't matter, because sometimes we forget. We turn into, or not us, but you know there's a danger of turning into a lazy Christian? Lazy Christian. I've read the Bible. I've done it all. Let me tell you, at 85, you could birth something beautiful. At 15, you can birth something beautiful. You're never too old to be used by God. Ask Abraham and Sarah. You're never too young to be used by God. Ask David. I'm telling you right now, God wants to do something wonderful, but are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to stay in the ground? Are you willing to let your roots grow into the Word of God that will give you nourishment for you to then produce something wonderful on the surface? Because what happens to that little seed turns into something huge. I've got these big oak trees in my front yard. You can't hug them. They're so big. You can't even wrap your arms around them. But every one of those started with the same little seed. I want y'all to stand with me this morning. Some of us have been going through things, been fighting battles, been feeling the pain. You've been feeling the pressure and the perseverance is weighing on you, and you're just asking God, you're saying, Lord, when is my breakthrough coming? I'm here to tell you today that it's coming soon. It's coming soon for you. If you're exhausted, it means that something is about to happen for you. You may feel like quitting, but if you'll hold on, what God is birthing in you will be worth it all. The pain will pass. The pressure will pass. The process will take you to the finish line. And you know what will happen? When you have the birth of your promise, all those other things will just melt away. Don't remember the pain that you went through. Don't remember the pressure that you felt. You won't remember anything, because just like I looked at those two beautiful little babies in that little bed that they were in, all the things that we went through, the first time that I held my daughter in my arms, the first time that I saw her mother kiss her forehead, all of the hand squeezing, all of the anguish and the pain, and all of that just disappeared. And what I saw was God's promise.